who's ever gone to Vegas, played a few games, left with less money than they thought they were getting.
They promised me. Yeah. They promised me more money.
What a dweeb. Western Kentucky's basketball arena was named after an ancient basketball coach, Edgar Allan Diddle, the Diddler. And he had just kind of a statue that just looked like the most cliche coach, you know, leaning over and
Stern. We're sending you home.
The blessing!
The blessing! Welcome back to the Heart of the Rivalry, Dave.
Thanks for having me, Phil.
You know now that week four, the Heart of the Rivalry, is the best. You know that in advertising you can say best because it's a subjective term.
Absolutely.
The best college football show available to you both on YouTube and wherever you get your podcasts.
Best damn podcast in the land.
Best damn podcast in the land, coming from the heart of college football itself, Toledo, Ohio, where we at The Blade examine the rivalries of both Ohio State and Michigan and the University of Toledo and Bowling Green. I thought that we'd go over your visit to Bowling Green. I mean, tough loss for UT.
So mad.
The rain was weird. That was all weird. Yeah. So all that stuff. We'll
talk. Awesome game for BG.
Awesome game. Another
transition from Bowling Green.
Another tough loss. Michigan does go underground. They're no longer considering the forward pass. And then Ohio State, you know, just sort of cruises. Halftime, we got something off the field. Do you have anything you want to talk about? I saw that the UNLV quarterback is quitting because they're not being paid. So you just want to talk about, like, who's overseeing NIL getting fulfilled?
Right.
I just was reading about it today. Yeah. He says he's redshirting himself. He was promised $100,000.
Right.
They offered him $12,000.
Yeah.
He said,
that's the new world.
He said deuces.
But it's like, what an idiot. I mean, it's just, I don't know.
I
get it, but it's like,
does somebody say
you just have to like swallow your pride and be like, the platform I'm going to get for being on an undefeated team.
I don't know. And also,
I get it from both sides.
Yeah. I mean, also, did somebody over the phone say, we're going to get you $100,000?
Right,
and he just was like, that means I'm getting $100,000, and signed his letter. I have no
idea. If it's
a
contract, then what else?
It all comes back to them being employees of the school, though, ultimately.
Right, that's what needs to happen eventually.
Okay, so I think we've already done that segment. Exciting week for all of our schools on some level, but you were in Bowling Green.
Kentucky.
And saw a tough loss in a weird game. Go ahead, tell us what happened, Dave.
Well, Kyle and I went down to Bowling Green, Kentucky. So went through Bowling Green, kept on going for about 5 hours. Bowling Green, Kentucky is about an hour north of Nashville. BG, or Western Kentucky, is one of Toledo's fellow top group of five peers. So Toledo 3-0 coming off that big win over an SEC opponent, Mississippi State, looking to seize momentum, maybe even start, you know, the momentum for the bigger dreams of maybe even, you know, a playoff spot. But those hopes momentarily went to die in Bowling Green. Like you said, very weird game. Toledo comes out, has all the momentum, up 21-10. Then the skies open, 75-minute lightning delay. And by the way, there did not need to be a delay. I know technically there needs to be, but because there's lightning within a certain amount. But during the entire delay, they're so concerned that, like, all the managers are just throwing the ball around on the field, and the fans are still in the stands. So I guess technically for the liability, you have to do it. But neither here nor there.
Sounds like it was there.
After the 75-minute delay, a full house turns into maybe a few hundred fans, so you just have no atmosphere.
A smattering.
And no, a smattering of applause. There would have been a smattering of boos for the home team if it had continued on, but they kind of detoured momentum. No excuse for Toledo, but just seemed like the game just completely turned then. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I'm just trying to think what went wrong, what went right. Nothing. The offensive line just kind of had been kind of piecemealing it together all game, and they just completely collapsed. Suddenly kind of made the defense, which is not a great defense, look like the 85 Bears, and the offense finally cried uncle and let them get going. And even with all that being said, they still had a great chance in the final couple minutes, or in the final minute. It would have become there was something called the Bluegrass Miracle, a miracle play at Kentucky. This would have been the Bluegrass Miracle part two. Toledo down 26-21. All hope is lost. Western Kentucky is just running out the clock, and their quarterback fumbles.
Incredible.
Inside the 20. And actually, Toledo should have got a touchdown on it because he wasn't down. But they blew the play dead. Toledo gets it inside the 20. They get it to the 4-yard line, first and goal at the 4. Seems like everything is set up for an all-time escape for Toledo. It's going to wash over all the issues, and they're going to leave and be the happiest flight home from Bowling Green ever. I don't think they fly home from Bowling Green, Ohio, but happiest flight home from Bowling Green, Kentucky in Toledo history. And lo and behold, false start, holding, season's over.
No. Well, and the interceptions, I mean, you like what you see from Tucker Gleason, just red zone interceptions. He's taking a chance. You got to go. You got to try.
Yeah, he had 2 interceptions on the final 2 drives.
To the same guy.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, I mean, if you're looking at the box score, there's 2 interceptions, but that was all on the offensive line. And I mean, if they just did not have that false start, Tucker rolls out, dumps off a 4-yard touchdown pass to Jaco Stewart, and Toledo wins a miracle game. But false start, holding. Next thing you know, it's 1st and 19, and Toledo just did not have the horsepower at that point.
How many times did you and Kyle think that they were going to pull it out? Because they would give it away.
They had 2 shots inside the 20 in the final couple minutes, so it looked like a game they had won and then lost and then won again and then lost and then won and lost and won and lost and finally lost.
Tough weather. Tough weather. So a 26-21 loss, not quite shameful, but a bit of a heartbreaker. And then we go to Bowling Green, who went down to Texas A&M and got a 26-20 loss, which is the classic, you got to say, moral victory for Bowling Green. They played great. They had their chances. Did you see any of that game?
I did see a little bit, and certainly following it, watched a lot of the – so that's 2 straight games against top 25 opponents on the road in 2 of the 4 biggest stadiums, Beaver Stadium, 105,000 people, Kyle Field at Texas A&M, one of the most intimidating atmospheres in the sport, and Bowling Green plays both of them within a touchdown, which is kind of crazy given where the program was a few years ago. I wrote in my column for today, I mean – like, the program that Scott Loeffler inherited 6 years ago should have been investigated for insurance fraud. Like, that's how sloppy the job was in burning that program to the ground. So, and I looked up, for context of that, all of last season, there were only 8 Power Conference teams that either won or played at least 2 ranked teams on the road within a touchdown. So, 8 teams that did that all of last season among the Power Conferences. Little old Bowling Green just did it twice in its last 2 games. So that tells you that...
good fight for the Falcons.
Yeah, it's kind of it's an interesting paradox. I mean, Bowling Green, the team that's been the most consistent in the MAC so far, is probably the one with a losing record. So, I mean, some of the other teams have had great wins, Toledo, Northern Illinois over Notre Dame. But guess what? Northern Illinois the next week comes home and loses to Buffalo in overtime. So Bowling Green, the team with 2 losses, has probably been the most consistent. And the thing I look at most in these games is the line play. Normally when a Big Ten or an SEC school plays a MAC team, you know, it's like a, you know, just like a hurricane versus a piece of paper. It's that lopsided. BG more than held its own. I mean, they looked like the physical equal of 2
on offense and defense.
On offense and defense, yeah. BG has their line is only
and
allowed.
And special teams, the block punt, that was great.
That was crazy. BG has only allowed 2 sacks all year, which is crazy, going up against 2 big-time lines.
Impressive.
And their defensive line has as many sacks as Georgia through 3 games. So that's that bodes pretty well for MAC play.
When people think about defensive line
they think about
Georgia and BG.
Absolutely.
Even Keel.
No, Toledo and BG both have elite defensive lines this year that would not look out of place in the Big Ten.
That's kind of incredible because usually that's what hurts in MAC play. You get hurt on the defensive line guys. You get hurt on the offensive line guys.
Yeah, for sure. It's kind of crazy.
Looking next, we talked about Michigan turning back the clock, and they just sort of embraced that. They can't throw the ball. They don't want to throw the ball. They don't need to throw the ball. They give USC a taste of fall Big Ten football. Run and run and run and run. And win at the end in a literally a smash mouth style.
I know. I headlined my picks last week Michigan is going down and hard
against USC
just to, you know, give it a little extra edge. And definitely got a few comments on Twitter and some emails asking me to address my pick. It's like, I'm just thinking like,
Hold on. Should we give some room here? Let's have you address
all right,
the pick.
I'm going to get on my, no, it's, if I had to address every pick I got wrong, we would probably be here for the next couple weeks. But I guess since I did pick it so strongly, I should eat a little crow. And I great win for Michigan. I mean, there's no way around it. 32 passing yards. That's kind of crazy. kind of strapped on the leather helmets and just barreled. I think 200.
That's like a service academy.
I know. They're going to need. I would just. I guess they did what they needed to do to beat USC, and credit to them. Everybody kind of thought USC was going to go in there and give Michigan another tough loss at home, but I don't know. I've never quite seen anything like that. In 2024, 32 passing yards. They're going to need to let Alex Orji, the quarterback now, air it out a little bit. There's no way, and I'll have to eat these words again, that they'll be able to win in Columbus or against Oregon. throwing for any less than 100 yards, but give him credit. I mean, that's kind of the Michigan culture.
We'll mark it down. We're going to start keeping track.
I mean, they're tough as hell, and they grinded out a win. I mean, give him credit. I mean, that's impressive.
Well, and you got to think, you know, Michigan lost a lot. They lost a lot, but the cupboard isn't totally bare. They still have tough players.
Yeah.
And they obviously are playing as a team. That's running the football.
It doesn't bode well for the long term, but sometimes in college football, we just kind of get lost in just, you know, what does it mean for the big picture and what does it mean for the playoff race? Well, in that one day, it was an electric scene in Ann Arbor.
Yeah.
And the defending national champions grinded out a win. So Michigan fans have every right to kind of be, you know, swagger around a little bit.
So down to Columbus we go. The last sort of bastion of what was the old South Campus party scene bar, the Stube, closed down for the Beer Stube. Very sad. I had some a former colleague of ours was there, Jeff Svoboda. Yeah. Shout out, Jeff. I had some friends that I graduated with that flew in special just to go. and from the way Ohio State started out against Marshall, it looked like they might have also visited the Stube in the prior days. Slow start, but cruise to a win. You tell me what you saw, but I have a question. Does Jeremiah Smith, does he appear that he's ever, has he tried yet? Is he trying?
I mean, I think Ohio State has kept a lot under wraps so far.
I would agree.
They're just kind of, they'll play their first team with a pulse on Saturday night in East Lansing. So, shout out Big Ten opener. I was not able to catch a lot of that game on the road. I don't think there was much reason to catch any of it. What did you see, Phil?
They got down 7-0. Yeah. They were
I know Jim Knowles, the DC, was kind of saying an embarrassing start, and that's not the standard. But
they just seemed in the mud. But then that question that we have about their offensive line, that's probably the best the offensive line. That is the best the offensive line has played this year.
Yeah.
They ended up running all over them and opening up huge holes. So that was good to see. And they won in a runaway. You know, the final is a five score separation. So
It's
fine in the end, even though the first quarter and a little bit into the second quarter, I think Ohio State fans said, why is the Stube letting our players in? That's just speculation. Yeah. I'm not saying that happened, but they just looked slow. Yeah. So.
It's been a very annoying schedule. Marshall and two MAC teams. I don't know. I don't think that's a particularly productive schedule for this Ohio State
preseason.
Team. And it is interesting. Like all the Ohio State fans always trash Michigan for their non-conference schedule. And now this year, Michigan fans are trashing Ohio State for theirs. But Ohio State, in fairness, does usually try to schedule, a big-time game in non-conference. You know, they've got Texas
almost
and
always.
Georgia. Yeah,
almost
this is
always.
One of the rare years. I mean, past couple of years, they had Notre Dame. You go back and, Texas, USC, you know, those kinds of schools. And that's going to continue in the future. But for this team, a team that has national title or bust expectations, a veteran team that just kind of wants to get rolling, it's kind of an annoying schedule. We just don't. We think we know Ohio State is loaded. Marshall's coach is another guy who says this is the greatest team since sliced bread.
Put him on the
list.
Had
a very good team. I don't know. And are we really going to find out anything until Oregon? I mean, are we going to find anything out in East Lansing? I mean, it'll be a little bit of a test. Maybe the starters will be pushed a little.
Tune up after tune up.
I know. So, a lot of tune-ups.
Ready?
Oh, yeah.
All right, to the regalia of the halftime segment we go. This is where we go off the field to see what's going on in college football. Admittedly, I didn't know much about this story until this week, and I don't necessarily know how to pronounce this kid's name, but the quarterback from UNLV is essentially claiming this kid named Matt Sluka. He has just redshirted himself. He's just elected to redshirt himself after what he claims being promised $100,000 in an NIL deal, to which UNLV offered $12,000, and he said, deuces. Yeah. So that's the wild world we are in. There's not a ton of info on this story, but who's there to regulate NIL, Dave?
I know. Welcome to the new world. I guess this is what we all wanted. And most of the NIL and free agency is maybe for the better. I mean, kids are getting the freedom of movement that was kind of always denied to them and getting a share of the revenue. But yeah, we got our first major holdout in college football. So I guess that means the sport has officially made it. it's interesting. I don't know. I guess there has to be a trailblazer in this, and somebody has to. I'm surprised, honestly, we haven't seen an entire team hold out, especially if it's late in the season and you're not doing well and you feel like maybe one of your NIL deals didn't quite whatever. But I guess give this kid credit in a way for making a stand. I mean, on principle, I think it's probably not the right decision for his image. Okay, so he didn't get all the money he deserved, but he was told he was owed. But look at what he's giving up. He's the starting quarterback on a top 25 team at UNLV. He's been a big reason for that. He's on that stage. He could have continued playing well and continued winning, and that's probably going to be way more valuable to him than being known as the guy who quit on his team 3 weeks in because he didn't get $50,000 from the local car dealer. I mean, this is not like I feel like this is not going to be some great long-term play for him. I don't think he's really going to win in the court of public opinion. So I don't know. I guess I respect him for acting on principle. He didn't get what he was promised in his mind. So he's saying, I'm out of here. But I don't think this is a good play for him. What do you think?
What's surprising about this is that the sweet hometown of Las Vegas misleading somebody over money is just so shocking.
Yeah. Bum. Ah, you.
All right, we've got one last segment. Are you ready to do this?
Not really.
You ready to do some scouting?
Oh, sure.
No, you're cooked.
Nah, yeah, just come on. It's the fourth quarter, Phil. You got to put up four fingers for the fourth quarter.
When you get to Lansing, yeah, you still have like hours and hours of Michigan to drive through.
I
and
know.
That's just to get to the UP.
Right.
Okay. So if you're going to see Ohio State play Michigan State, keep going.
No, I mean, I do think it's interesting. I mean, Ohio State's going to face their first test. Michigan State was picked, I think, 17th out of 18 schools in the to start the year. But they have beaten Maryland. They just had a narrow loss at Boston College. So it seems like Jonathan Smith is pretty competent hire. I think Jason Candle from Toledo might have been a better hire for them. It was kind of down to those three. Candle was not thrilled when we were asking the week of the MAC championship game about the Michigan State rumors. So,
am I wearing Michigan State?
What the heck? Are you a true Buckeye?
Am I symbol for the Spartans? What's happening? I didn't even realize.
But Jonathan Smith, he came from Oregon State, did a pretty good job there. I think he's going to do a pretty. He's just kind of a fish out of water in the Midwest, but great coach. They've done pretty well. If Ohio State is locked in and they should roll, it's a big spread, but night games on the road in the Big Ten, especially when it's your first test, who knows? It should be interesting. If you can find it, it's on Peacock.
Okay, Minnesota visits the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor. Thoughts?
Well, Minnesota lost to North Carolina earlier this year, which just lost to James Madison.
About 70 to 50.
70 to 50.
And they were down 50-20 at half or something.
That was unbelievable. And it's so bad that Mac Brown, their 71-year-old coach, told his players, he offered to resign afterward. Like, that's how much of a debacle it was.
All right, this has been the Heart of the Rivalry. We will see you next week. Thanks, Dave. We are done for real this time.
All right. Does that mean you would just throw that away, or do you have to recharge it?
Oh, when this is done, we just throw everything away.
No,
they recharge. Okay. Yeah, they're okay.